Pastor Julian, the resume of your life took a pretty much, 180-degree turn from where you used to be to where you are now. If you will, give us an overview of your younger days and the kind of situations you were in.
Yeah, so I grew up in the West Texas town of San Angelo. It's actually the biggest U.S. city without an interstate. And when I was growing up, it was, you know, the early 90s and a lot of, I would call it like gangster rap era is what I got caught up in. And there was a lot of gangs in our town and stuff like that. And so I really had this affinity for doing that kind of stuff. And, you know, my home life wasn't the best. You know, I had both parents, but my dad, you know, was an alcoholic and a drug abuser. And he and my mother were, you know, on the verge of divorce most of my early childhood years. And so I guess, you know, I found solace in some of these other things. Started experimenting with drugs at a very early age, just because that's what everybody else was doing. Probably from the age of 12, 13, is when I started doing some of these things, sneaking out at night and that kind of stuff. And so I got involved with just some people who were like me. You know, I was probably the bad influence on other people, and sad to say. And so, you know, that just led to doing drugs and selling drugs. And so I grew up in church in a way, like from when I was born to like 9 years old. But then we stopped going to church. My mom kind of had this falling out with God over this situation that happened. And so we didn't go back to church. So growing up, like, I knew there was a God, but I had never, you know, been to youth group or nothing like that. Never surrendered my life to him and stuff. So there was always that kind of in the back of my mind, like, I know God is real and he's watching me, but, you know, I didn't really have any respect for it. And so all that to say, you know, my girlfriend got pregnant when I was 15, and we got married, and then we had another child back to back. I was running around selling drugs and stuff, trying to, you know, I dropped out of school because, you know, you can't make money while you're at school. And plus, you know, I was like in alternative schools anyways, you know, because I was always getting in trouble or whatever. So yeah, it was real tumultuous, to say the least, in my early youth. I got involved in some illegal human trafficking as a coyote. That's people who, you know, cross illegal aliens over the border and bring them north, stuff like that. And so I was doing that for a while, making a lot of money doing that, you know, money, easy come, easy go kind of thing. And so yeah, it was just I did a lot of things from the age of 13 to 19 that, you know, some people don't do in a lifetime. And it was, you know, it was dangerous. And there were times where I felt like I should have been dead, you know, and I wasn't. I was spared for some reason. My past, you know, was rough to say the least.
But in time, you felt a pull from God and things turned around. How did that happen?
Yeah, I was probably like 18, and 9/11 had happened in 2001. And I remember I was out looking for a job, me and my cousin, and we go to the convenience store to buy cigarettes or something. And there's a clerk talking about there was planes being hijacked and bombs and stuff. And we're like, what in the world's going on? So I take my cousin home, and my aunt, she was a pastor of a small house church. And we get to her house, and she's got the news on, and I was like, this is crazy. And she's like, well, you know, the Lord's coming or whatever. And I think that little bit of seed planted, this was like September. And I think she saw that, and she started inviting us to church. And I was just a typical, okay, yeah, we'll see you Sunday, and then never show up kind of thing. And she would come around my house a lot, like every week and just tell us she was praying for us and she wanted to invite us to church. And so it kind of became this like, man, we better go just so she can stop coming around. And one Wednesday night, I get home from work and my wife was saying, hey, your aunt came by. Are we going to go to church? And I said, yeah, we'll go to church. And so I call my mom, and my mom's not living for the Lord at this time. And I said, hey, like, I don't, you know, I got two kids. Like, what, do I go leave them with you or do we take them to church? Like, I don't really know what the routine is here. And she said, well, you know, your uncle's a pastor. And I said, well, yeah. And she said, his church is bigger. You go to his church because they have a nursery. And so I thought, well, that makes sense. You know, church is church. Not knowing that this was going to highly offend my aunt. But all that to say is we went to church that Wednesday night and something just hit me. You know, I genuinely feel like God was pulling on me and got me in the doors and wasn't going to let me go. And so it was kind of odd because it was a like pastor appreciation night. So there wasn't even an altar call or any kind of gospel message, but I was crying the entire time. And that night, you know, I said, I'm going to change my life today. And I was almost 19 years old. It was October in 2001. And then several months later, my wife, she got saved. And so, yeah, it was just a 180 degree turn from what I was, to what I wanted to be. And obviously, you know, the process of sanctification is a long road. So, you know, everything didn't get all better right then and there, but it was definitely the line in the sand. You know, I crossed over and said, you know, I'm going to give my life to this and, you know, never look back.
In looking back, I don't want to contradict you, but in looking back, are you amazed at the power of forgiveness that God can offer where you're now in a new course, previous things happened, but they're no longer held against you?
Yeah, it is humbling. It's amazing. I, for a long time, early on in my salvation, I struggled with the fact that God could forgive me. You know, I did some pretty bad things. And you know, even like I was very ashamed of my testimony until I learned like, you know, God can use that for his glory. But still I, you know, to this day, I tell people all the time, like there's things that I can't share about my past and my testimony because of how horrendous they were. And, you know, I don't want anybody looking at me, you know, different, even though I've been changed and I'm not that person anymore. So yeah, it is amazing, you know, and I do think that helps, you know, when I'm witnessing to somebody to share those experiences, to say like God's forgiveness, you know, that I think Matt Chandler said, you know, we can't out sin God's forgiveness. Like he is just so ready and willing to forgive us of anything. And it doesn't matter what we do. There's no too bad or too wrong. And so it's very humbling to say the least that, you know, that God could and would want to save me after some of the things that I've done.
Moving ahead, you eventually became a pastor. Can you give us a thumbnail of how that happened?
Yeah, it's kind of a long story. I got saved, and then, you know, we just kind of started going to church. Every time the doors were open, we became those church members. We were just there all the time. And eventually, I was like, I want to serve, you know, and I started playing the bass on stage. I didn't know how to play the bass. They taught me how. And so I kind of joined the worship team in that way. And I was telling my pastor, who was my uncle, you know, we were at that church for 10 years. And I was like, I think, you know, like I got a message. I got something I need to say, you know. And he was like, well, maybe God wants you to be a preacher, you know. And I was like, I don't know about that. But then I started getting this desire to preach. And so my uncle trained me to preach. And I was like, I don't know, probably 23 years old. I started preaching in the pulpit just as a lay preacher and started leading worship. And so for several years, probably for 10, 12 years, I was, you know, a deacon, and I was there at the church all the time. I was preaching and teaching Sunday school and stuff. And one Sunday morning, we had left that church. You know, we kind of our family outgrew my uncle's church. It was a very small church of maybe 20 people. By that point, they had dwindled down, and, you know, we weren't doing any outreach, or, you know, there was no youth group or anything. And my kids were getting older. And so we went to a church across town, And it was there that I kind of realized, like, oh, like you could do this vocationally, like people commit their lives to full-time ministry. And one Sunday morning after band practice, I mean, it was like a switch. It just hit me. Like after band practice, I thought God wants me to be in full-time ministry. And this was in 2012 maybe. And so, you know, at this point I had never gotten my GD. I dropped out of school probably like 10th grade, early 10th grade. And so I was like, I guess I got to go to college and, you know, get a degree or whatever. So I went and got my GD, like the next week, and then enrolled at Liberty University online and did that for 2 years. And then we felt God calling us to move to Lynchburg, Virginia, so I could go on campus. And you know, that's a whole nother story of a faith move, how God took us to Lynchburg. And I went on campus for about a year and a half, and a pastor I knew from San Angelo was in Nederland, Texas, which is about 10 minutes from where we are now. And his worship guy was taking another job at another church, and he called me and said, hey, if you can finish online, I'd like to offer you a job to be our worship pastor, young marrieds pastor. I said, all right, you know, and so we prayed about it, obviously, and we moved back down to Texas here in Nederland, and I was there for 8 years. So that job was my first ever, like, you know, staff pastoral full-time job.
And with all the experience you gained, God was about to do something even more interesting and different. What originally got our attention was an article we read about how God essentially got a message through to you, spoke to you, not sure how to word it, but you were essentially having lunch, some tacos, and you got what seemed to be a direct message from God. Can you kind of take us there? What happened?
Yeah. And you know, it was kind of a process, if you will. Like we were here in Nederland, which is about 10 minutes, like I said, from where I'm at now. And so Nederland is part of what's called Mid County. There's Nederland, Port Neches, Groves, very affluent community. Well, then just 10 minutes down the road is Port Arthur, and it's like a poverty-stricken community. Well, the best place to find good tacos is not in the affluent community. So it's where it's culturally diverse. So, you know, I'm Hispanic, and, you know, I love a good street taco. And I found this taco place, you know, 10 minutes from my house. And our youth pastor at the church, it was this whole thing where he had told me he loves tacos al pastor. And I found this taco joint, and me and my wife. And so I came back to work the next day. I was like, man, we got to go eat these tacos. You're going to love them. And he said, okay. So we go down there and we start frequenting this taco place a lot. Like we're down there all the time eating these tacos. And me and the youth pastor start kind of talking about, you know, I'm asking him, like, what's the deal with Port Arthur? You know, why does it look so desolate? And, you know, it's just been through a lot after storms and everything else. And it was in that moment, you know, we were eating tacos, obviously, where he said, man, you know, I always had this dream of planting a church in Port Arthur, and that would be so cool. And I was like, wow, yeah, that would be cool. And I think that was the spark that led God to start working on my heart, because after that moment, I couldn't stop thinking about Port Arthur. Like in that moment, God broke my heart for this place in a way that I can't explain, because I'm not from here. I have no connection to Port Arthur whatsoever. And so I remember getting back to the office immediately, and I, you know, start Googling like churches in Port Arthur, and kind of this, doing this search, of, you know, churches like ours, and, you know, finding nothing. And so, yeah, as I was eating tacos, you know, it wasn't a voice or anything like that, but it was God prompting my spirit, I think, to kind of open my eyes to say, look at this place. You know, I want to be in this place. And I felt that deep inside my soul. And so it was really interesting. You know, we still go eat tacos there a lot. It's right down, it's 2 blocks from the church now.
Wow. So the church exists now. It has been established. What is the name of the church, and what are you folks up to?
Yeah, so we're Port Arthur City Church, and we launched a year ago, Easter. So March 31st was our 1-year anniversary. We when we were eating tacos and stuff, this was probably 2018, 19. And we launched in 2024. So it was a long while in the making. But we knew God wanted a church here. And so we got a core team of about 15 of us, came down here. Me and my family moved to Port Arthur a few years before we launched. And God has just been doing some amazing things at our church. You know, we're right in the middle of the city where there's a lot of homelessness and things like that. But, you know, we started out services, you know, having 20 or 30 people, and now we're just over 100. And you know, our biggest thing is, you know, evangelism and discipleship. We go out and we do outreach with everybody. You know, we go outside of the doors of the church often and reach people. And we've seen some amazing stories of God transforming people's lives, to people who have never stepped in the church one day in their life, to, you know, tattoos all over their face and whatnot, to being saved and discipled. And, you know, it's just, it's definitely been a whirlwind for sure.
We've been hearing stories from around the country, different colleges and so forth, of sporadic cases of revival happening. Do you sense that in your region, people are more open to the gospel?
Yeah, that's a great take, because I've been following some of that, and, you know, I've been wondering myself, you know, like when we started gathering as a core team to come down to Port Arthur, you know, God began to break all of our hearts, and there was almost this sense of urgency, as if we knew God was calling us here, that he was going to do something big here, and if we didn't get down here quick, you know what I mean? Like almost we were going to miss out on it. But we are noticing, yes, a very positive response to the gospel. And where we are is kind of, I like to call it an unchurched area. People aren't waking up in the morning saying, you know, where do I go to church this morning? It's kind of, you know, died out, that American gospel Christianity type thing, if you will, where everybody just goes to church on Sunday. That no longer exists down here. And you know, with the exception, you know, there are some churches that are very, you know, they've got their few, and they, you know, are reaching people there because they've been around for a long time. But the younger generation and people have just done away with church in general. And so, you know, we opened a church that just wanted to be as real as possible. You know, we don't wear suit and ties. We are very down to earth. You know, we speak on their level, and just straight the gospel. We're, you know, no other kind of message comes out except for the gospel. And we have been, you know, witnessing God do a work on the people. I think that is something that's going to happen here. We can feel an explosion coming. Like I said, you know, we've been growing despite some of the hindrances, like, you know, all the church models, you know, we're kind of breaking all those norms, because, you know, we're not in a place that it's growing with a lot of people and jobs and opportunities. You know, we're a place where people have been fleeing from, and yet we're seeing this gospel explosion, if you will. And, you know, it's not the 500-600 people flooding the doors, but it is every Sunday we're noticing more and more people wanting to see what this is about. And it's very encouraging for sure.
So for someone who has heard our podcast or is reading the story, how can people pray for you and your church and your family? What can they pray?
Yeah, there's a couple things. We are in a very dark place. And so I think, you know, just the prayers for our team and for our, you know, our pastors, and to stay the course. You know, it's rewarding in a sense that we are seeing people respond to the gospel, but it's also very hard terrain to work, because, you know, people who have never been to church or experienced Christianity in that way, they're very rough around the edges. And again, it's very rewarding that they come and that they're being discipled, but that comes with all kinds of baggage and challenges that they bring along with them, just like anybody else. And so it's a lot of spiritual battles against the enemy trying to keep people down. And we are constantly trying to help them realize their new identity. And so pray for the people of Port Arthur, just that the gospel would go out, you know. And also, you know, we're in the place we're at is a very, it struggles economically. And so, you know, financially, our church, we're still supported by outside resources, other churches, organizations, and things like that. And so the longer we're here, the harder it's going to be for us to continue to pull those resources, just because we're kind of on a, you know, on a sliding scale with some organizations. And so just, you know, for God to do a work, you know, and we trust him that he wants this church here. He wants us to be in the middle of the city. And so, you know, whatever that looks like financially, he'll be the one to figure it out. But we just want to continue to keep that in prayer, that that God will do a miraculous work to keep us open for many years to come.
And could you give us your website?
Yeah, it's citychurchpa.com is the website. And we're also on Facebook and Instagram. We share a lot of content on there as well.
All right. Pastor Martinez, I really appreciate you sharing your heart with us, your transparency and so forth. And I think a lot of people also just be encouraged by what you've offered. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Richard. Appreciate it.